Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Number two, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on this last weekend of October, Halloween weekend, October 28th. It is a gorgeous day down here at Ferg's, 13th and Central, across from Tropicana Field. Got Ben Botham across from me, and of course, we got Brad Richardson in the house. We're going to be talking a little high school action here and efforting a couple of people to come down. I've got Mike Ross and his son Wyatt scheduled to make an appearance. This young man's got Hockey Wyatt, and he's actually been welcomed with open arms by the Tampa Bay Lightning, so that'll be an interesting conversation with him. And we've got all kinds of conversation in the world of MLB. Of course, Arizona Diamondbacks and
Texas Rangers.
We'll be talking about the 2001 game with Jeff Mangold, series with Jeff Mangold. I'm looking forward to that conversation, and that was an epic series for many reasons. Give the stats to the people that you gave to me before we came on, Ben.
All right. Well, on top of this being the first World Series featuring two stadiums with a roof, there's not going to be a single rainout, Mike. Just like if we were playing here at the old Great Lady here at Tropicana Field, America's ballpark once again. But the Diamondbacks ace in 2001 hit a bird, and their ace this year in 2023 hit a bird. All dates for the World Series in games 2001 are the same as the dates this year in 2023.
This is bizarre.
The All-Star game was in Seattle in 2001, and it was in Seattle again this year in 2023. And lastly, George Bush, the former president, threw out the first pitch in 2001, and he did the same again this year in 2023. So it's very exciting. A lot of, you know, I don't know, what do you want to call them, coincidences, weird little stats that are coming together here. But I think this is a good sign for the D-backs. I think with Evan Longoria kind of hanging around there 15 years after the 2008 World Series with the Rays, I think that there's a good chance that Evan Longoria seals the deal and finds a way to get the D-backs a win in the World Series this year. I'm predicting I'll go with our former president, George Bush, and go six games.
So, Benny, you're believing in destiny, huh?
I am believing in destiny.
God, this is new.
No, I've always believed in destiny. I'm a big believer.
There's somebody you were dating back in the day?
No destiny.
No destinies.
So, as you look at this matchup, because you know, I don't have any emotional equity in either club. However, with the exception of Rangers knocked off the Rays, you can go that angle.
Sure.
So you want to make maybe get behind them.
Yeah.
But then another Rays piece, Evan Longoria. I'd love to see Longo get another one. He's such a great guy.
I'll say one last thing, too, to add on to that. With the Texas Rangers, we have a Seminole alumni that's one of their assistant coaches there. So, catching coach, yes, correct. So I'm kind of on the Rangers side of things right now, just for Bobby Wilson himself. He's on the state championship team in 2001. So that's just a great, great thing for him. So,
I mean, and it shows how good a job he's doing, because what makes a pitcher is his catcher. If you don't have a good catcher, you're not going to do well. And this showed with the Rangers bullpen last night, where they went 6.1 innings pitched. They allowed two hits, zero runs, zero base on balls, and six Ks. And that's through extra innings. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough to do in a regular nine-inning game. But when you go into the extra innings to only allow two hits, no walks, and no runs, that is spectacular from the Rangers bullpen. And I think a lot of that has to do with the catchers that they have behind them. If you don't have the confidence from the guy behind the plate, you as the pitcher are not going to execute pitches as well as you would if you trusted the guy behind the plate. So our very own Seminole alumni, he has a good portion of responsibility for the Rangers' victory last night, I think, and helping supply their bullpen with enough confidence in order to get the W.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny too. I got to get your opinion about this. So with these games going into extra innings, I bet you don't like it. I bet you're glad that they don't have an extra inning starting with a guy on second, right?
Absolutely.
That was the way to go during the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I can't believe they do that during the regular season. It's not baseball.
That's the only one that I don't like with the conversion of the rules.
See, I'm not a huge fan of the bigger bases. I get it's getting people to steal more, but it's not fair to guys in the past like Ricky Henderson, who would steal an unbelievable amount of bases, setting the stealing
record. Imagine what Henderson went down bigger bases.
He would have stole 300 bases a season, Mike, especially with the rule where you can't pick off after two pickoff attempts. He would have had free bases day and night.
I got to meet that cat. I'm going to tell you something. He's one interesting man. But talk about having a heyday if it was back in his day, as they say.
I believe it. There's some other pretty cool, interesting stuff going on with the game. Game 4 of the 0-1 World Series and Game 1 of the 2023 World Series are the only games in the Fall Classic history where there was a game-tying home run in the ninth inning and a walk-off home run in extra innings. And, of course, the Diamondbacks were in both of these games, so maybe this is more stuff pointing towards a Diamondbacks win. Of course, this is also D-backs have moved to 0-6 in extra innings in playoff baseball. If they're in playoff baseball, the Diamondbacks do not do very well. So there's a lot of factors pointing both ways, where the Texas Rangers have a good possibility of winning if they can take the D-backs into extra innings. Also, the D-backs have kind of blown, or it's the Rangers. Yeah, it was the 12th anniversary of one of the most painful moments in Rangers history, where in the ninth inning of Game 6 in 2011 World Series, the Rangers blew a two-run lead when a victory would have clinched the franchise's first World Series title. Texas went on to lose on a solo home run in the 11th inning by the Cardinals' David Freese, losing again in Game 7 the following night. So there's a lot of factors that are pointing to both teams kind of struggling. So I'm really excited. I think that this is going to be a great World Series and a really exciting series here outside of our regular Yankees, Dodgers.
Well, it's the two teams that no one expected to be in the series. Everyone had predicted at one point, obviously, the Rays were a favorite. Everyone obviously predicted the Orioles, the Astros. I mean, they were all favored to be in. And look what happened. They got knocked off in the playoffs. So now you have two teams. In some ways, it's exciting. They're wild cards. You don't know what's going to happen. These were, like I said, unfavorable teams to be in it. And look what happened. People in 2008 did not expect the Rays to even make it to the World Series.
Yeah, what was that? What, game 162? Was that 2008 as well?
Yep.
It looks like we have a Seminoles touchdown.
Yeah, we're the home. Fergs is the home of the Florida State Seminoles. Their watch party. And, of course, number 4 Seminoles taking on Wake Forest at Wake Forest today. I'll segue real quick into that. Come on down to Fergs. Of course, we're brought to you by Fergs Sports Bar and Grill. We've got our 19th hole clubhouse studios upstairs, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka. Of course, Ice Pick Vodka is with our Champa Bay, one of the favorites down here. I know Benny Boy loves those babies, and we're absolutely blessed to have them on board, and that is Ice Pick Vodka. Some of the games on slate right now, you got Florida State and Wake Forest doing battle. UCF, after a great game against Oklahoma, they take on West Virginia today. Georgia versus Florida, we'll talk a little bit about that. The biggest outdoor cocktail party, and that is in Jacksonville today. You've been there several times.
I certainly have.
Well, your body was there.
Well, most of my friends are there right now, so shout out to Sauceville and Clip House and Paul, all up there in Jacksonville, probably enjoying the game right now without me. So.
And they're having a few drinks in your honor.
A few cocktails. Yeah, a few cocktails.
I said a few. See, the other ones later 10. Are for themselves, but a few for you.
So we'll talk to John from Shrimpy's because he's a graduate. You know his love for the Georgia Bulldogs.
How about him? No.
We'll have him on to break down that, as well as Jay Davis. So stick his head in. He's a regular down here, big Georgia Bulldog today. Miami and Virginia do battle. Let's see who else on the local landscape. USF has the weekend off. And, of course, as I said in the opening, the Bucks have a bye. They played on Thursday night. But there's no Sunday night or Sunday afternoon Bucks game down here, but all the other games are live. We got 100 and some televisions, and should we make our migration into high school sports now?
I mean, you know how I'm going to feel about that. Of course, I'm going to nod my head and say yes. I mean, well, first of all, Mike, I think we need to just say absolutely that on Tuesday night for Media Day for the Sun Bash was another success in the books. Don't you agree?
You knocked it out of the park.
Shout out to me, obviously, myself. I'm going to be selfish there. And, of course, Mr. Jake Perper himself.
Jake Perper did a superb job. I've gotten about a dozen calls from coaches and parents. Matt Geiger even called and expressed his appreciation. That son of his has got some ups, I guess, when you're 6'10" as a ninth grader. But there was the talent and the breadth of the teams down here. They all appreciated it very, very much. And that, of course, is the Sun Bash Tournament at Northside Christian. And that is December 28th through the 30th. It's 7th annual. And I was getting under.
Mike.
I kept doing it because
me and Jake were kind of like, we were holding our fingers up. Holding up
seven. I wasn't doing that for you. The first time it was a mistake. I wasn't doing that for you. But he was like in another planet, and I was getting ready to ask him a question. So that's why I'd say sixth. Then he'd go. Then he'd fire up.
It's the seventh
annual, and it is 16 teams. You've got teams from New York, New Orleans, and, of course, the entire state of Florida. And it is a fun 2 days, and we'll have Brad Richardson on the call. And I'm looking for a couple color guys. I'll be stepping in from time to time, but it's a great time.
Did I hear 6'10"?
6'10", yeah.
What grade is he in? Matt Geiger, you know Geiger. Matt Geiger?
Yeah.
His son.
What grade is he in?
Ninth grade.
Six foot ten?
6'10".
He's about as white as that microphone.
Holy Toledo. That's unbelievable. 6'10".
6'10". I mean, last year at one of the tournaments that I announced it was the Buckshot O'Sullivan. They had a kid from ING Academy, 7'1".
Oh, my Lord.
Yep. His dad was just as tall, too. So the kid was tall, skinny as a rail. But I mean,
nice kid. Good interview.
I'm still waiting on my growth spurt, Mike.
Yeah.
Your growth spurt at 25. I'm 35. I'm still waiting on mine.
Tell you what happens as you get to be my age.
Start shrinking.
You shrink.
Osteoporosis.
That's reality. I was at the doctor 2 weeks ago and asked me my height without measuring me, and I lied. And I said, to be quite candid with you, I don't know what I am these days. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm putting on one of those things, and I go down, not up as far as growth. Anyway, I digress. We're brought to you each and every week with Body Armor. They're going to get on board in a big way, even more so in 2024. We've done a superb job with that partnership. Coca-Cola, Florida Beverages, and Body Armor bring you this next segment with Brad Richardson.
Well, hey, it's been one hell of a week, obviously. Thank you to Jake Perper for being down here for the Sun Bash and holding Media Day. But now it's time to talk some high school football. And I tell you what, a lot of district games last night, just to go over those real quick. Zephyr, and we'll start with this. Zephyr Hills Christian versus Northside Christian. First of all, we got to give a big shout out to Coach Gaynor. He was voted this past week as Coach of the Week by the Tampa Bay Bucks. Congratulations to Coach over at Northside Christian. Obviously, coming off a big district win over the Indian Rocks Christian Golden Eagles. I mean, Northside Christian, final score 22-21 over the Eagles. And, of course, the Mustangs clinched the district championship. They were on the road to Zephyr Hills last night to face the Zephyr Hills Christian Academy Warriors. It was a tough game for the Mustangs, that the Warriors held a substantial lead through the game, but unfortunately they came up short. Final score 28-19, Zephyr Hills Christian. Mustangs will be back on the road this coming week to face the Orlando Christian Prep Warriors, the second Warriors, for their final game of the season. And speaking of Indian Rocks Christian, IRC faced off against LaBelle. The Eagles just still reeling from that loss against Northside. They wanted to get a win going into the game. IRC 5-2 record facing off against LaBelle Cowboys 6-2 record. It'd be a close game in the first half. The game would be tied in the first quarter 7-7. Then LaBelle would take the lead in the second with a 14-13 lead in favor of LaBelle. The Eagles would fight back in the second half, holding the game in the third and the fourth. Final score 34-22. IRC will get the win. Next week, the Eagles will head to Tarpon Springs. They'll head to Jeremy Frow territory to face the Spongers in their final regular season season game. Last night, another district game for Berkeley Prep versus Clearwater. 2M, District 7. Berkeley Prep was 6-2 going to this game. Clearwater, 5-3. Berkeley Prep will take the win 28-14 over the Tornadoes. Clearwater, next week, will face Bogey at home for their final home game of the season. Now, big game last night. Clearwater Central Catholic, Sefner Christian. CCC had a bye week last week, and they got some rest, and they were ready to face off against the Crusaders. Big district game versus Sefner. 1M, District 3. Clearwater Central Catholic still undefeated and climbing in the rankings, is now ranked number 7 in the state of Florida by the FHSAA. Guys, they want to head back to states. They want that championship ring. Another big night for quarterback Jershawn Newton. He's currently leading 1M District 3 in rushing yards, total yards, and he's only a junior. He's got another season to go as well. Keep an eye out for this guy next year. The Marauders control the game. Final score, 54-7. CCC clinches the district championship and will be on the road to Fort Lauderdale this next week to face Cardinal Gibbons for their final game of the season. Palm Harbor University versus Eastlake, district game for both the Hurricanes and the Eagles. Palm Harbor number 1 in 4M District 6 with Eastlake at number 2. Going into the game, PHU was 6-2 with Eastlake 4-4. Hurricanes would hold the lead through the whole game. Final score 23-7. And according to several sources, okay, on social media, this is the first time the Hurricanes have beaten Eastlake in 8 years. So congrats to the Hurricanes. Eastlake will be back at home facing the Countryside Cougars, and Palm Harbor will be at Dunedin facing the Falcons next week for the final home game of this final game of the season. Calvary Christian versus Dunedin. The Warriors travel to Dunedin to face the Falcons. Another big district game for the Warriors. 2M, District 7. Berkeley Prep is behind them in second place and looking for a win. I mean, Berkeley Prep has not forgotten the regional finals last season with a 28-27 loss in overtime. The Warriors would take the win in that one. Final score 65-0. Calvary is the 2M District 7 champions. The Warriors will travel to Melbourne, Florida to face Holy Trinity Episcopal Tigers. Dunedin will be at home hosting the Hurricanes. The Palm Harbor Hurricanes. Now, big game. I was excited about this. Gibbs versus Bogusiega going to in the game. Gibbs had not won a game all season. It's also a big district game for both teams. There's more bragging rights in 2M District 8. Lakewood is at number 1 in the district. Bogey was 2-6, of course, going into the game. The Pirates narrowly held the first half of the game, having at halftime a score of 7-6. And at the start of the third quarter, the game shifted in favor of Gibbs when a punt return to Dontrez Young would take it 65 yards for a touchdown. Although they missed the extra point, the Gladiators would take a 12-7 win over Bogey, nabbing their first win of the season. Now, listen, although it's a loss for Bogey, they are now tied for the district championship possibility with Lakewood. They have to wait for the rankings this coming week to know for sure. Next week, Bogey will be on the road to face the Clearwater Tornadoes. Gibbs will be at St. Pete facing off against the Green Devils. Last night, Largo versus Osceola. The Packers traveled to Osceola High School to face the Warriors. There's a district game, of course, for both teams. Great night again for none other than Malachi Peterson and Jeremy Thomas, both top-ranked players in 3M District 7. Thomas ranked number 1 in total yards this season with 993, and within that, he is number 3 in passing yards with 685. Peterson, he is number 1 in rushing yards in 3M District 7. With 785 yards, total points 66, and 11 touchdowns this season so far. Marcus Pascal and the Packers take another district win. Final score 34-9 and are the 3M District 7 champions. Next week, they travel to Northeast to play the Vikings, and the Warriors will travel to Hollins to face
Florida. I'm going to that game.
You are going to be going to that.
Battle of my buddies.
Awesome. And then Northeast versus Pinellas Park, district game for both teams. 3M District 8, Sean Davis and the Vikings would take the win. Final score 48-38. Northeast will host the Packers, and Pinellas Park Pages will travel to Warhawk Stadium to face Seminole Warhawks for their final home game of the season. I, of course, will be there announcing that game. Other scores in the county, Donahoe Catholic versus Canterbury. Final score 42-0 in favor of Donahoe Catholic. Tarpon Springs versus Anclo. Final score 34-8. Tarpon will take that win. Ocala Christian versus Lakeside Christian. Final score 60-16 in favor of Ocala. And University Christian at Clearwater Academy. Final score, that will go to University Christian taking the win. So, Mike, district champion so far in Pinellas County. Northside Christian is the district champion for 1M District 4.
My neighborhood.
Largo is the champion for 3M District 7.
Marcus and the boys.
Yep, and now we got to wait for the rankings this week to know who will be the district champion for 2M District 8. It's either going to be Bogey or Lakewood. Palm Harbor is the district champion for 4M District 6. Calvary Christian, 2M District 7. And for 3M District 8 champion will be the St. Pete Green Devils.
All right, my man. Great job. But we've got Lightning royalty, potentially in the house.
Oh, you know, man. Look at him down on the end.
You've got Paul Porter. Paul Porter's on before us with a great show now called the Home Team. And it's on from 9 to 11. But this next young guest, and you know how, Ben, we love to have youth movement. We had the Scripps Spelling Bee champ, and 14 years of age, in Dev Shaw. So now we got a young man that has been actually covering hockey for 7 years.
Seven years.
And that is Wyatt and his father, Mike Ross. And I wanted you to break it down. You might be our regular segment, Wyatt, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. So welcome to the show. Thanks for coming over. And Pops, why don't you introduce your son properly, since this is the first time I've met him. Nice and loud into the mic, and Mike on the mic.
Nobody told me I was going to talk, but there's not much to say. He was picked at the age of 7 to work for the Lightning, started doing interviews. The NHL saw it. He's now covered 3 NHL All-Star games. He's been on the ice with some of the stars out in Vegas, skating, shooting stuff for the NHL. And his latest thing is he was just appointed to the NHL Youth Advisory Board, the Power Players Youth Advisory Board. So,
Wyatt, my man. All right, Pop, you can quit talking now. we got to get the pipes on here and the brains behind this operation. Wyatt Ross, wow, what a resume, young man.
Thank you.
Are you having fun?
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me out here. It's been awesome.
Well, let's talk about when you were 7 years old. Did you go to a game with Dad? How did you get this hockey fever? I know you play hockey.
So speaking of playing hockey, I was actually at a hockey camp, and they had an NHL player there. So the news anchors went there with them, and they were doing interviews with the campers to kind of see what it was like. And apparently, they told me I was good in front of a camera, so I ended up being on 4 news stories that night. The Lightning approached my dad, asked if I would be comfortable in the locker room with the guys, tried me out on an interview, and they just stuck with me. Got to the NHL from there.
Hey, buddy, real quick, Brad Anderson, who was your first interview with the Lightning?
Tyler Johnson.
Nice. Yep. Awesome. What was he like, man?
Big time. 14 years of age. I am so impressed, and I appreciate your dad putting this together. It's hard to say in 7 years, but who's your coolest interview or your coolest moment? I mean, you've got more than most people have in a lifetime if they're hockey fans already, my man.
Yeah. So probably the coolest moment for me was I'm a little bit more of a Penguins fan. I'm Lightning and Penguins, but...
Penguins? Why?
Oh, dude, my dad's from Pittsburgh.
My dad is from Pittsburgh. So
nice. Oh, Mike, well, you're to blame. Okay.
But when I got to interview Sidney Crosby in 2018, that was really, really cool.
just rolls out of his mouth.
Yeah, name dropping.
But these are facts. What do your buddies on your hockey team think of you?
Oh, they like to poke fun at me about it. I got a nickname, Hollywood. My coach was calling me.
Well, I might call you Hollywood. I'm not going to call you big time because you appear to be pretty humble about it.
Thank you.
And which is the way to roll with it, by the way. So, Sidney Crosby. He just starts out with the Hall of Famer right away. Sidney Crosby.
Nothing big.
How about from a Lightning perspective? Who's the coolest cat at the Lightning that you've interviewed?
Yeah, so also my first ever interview, Tyler Johnson. I've always been a smaller guy on the ice, so obviously he was a big inspiration to me. And as soon as I sat down, he made me comfortable in the locker room. It really probably built everything I've been able to do today was how he interacted with me. He was awesome with me. He had good answers, and he gave me some words of advice. I couldn't remember what they are now, but I do remember he did inspire me even in that moment right there.
Hey, Wyatt, what are you doing every Saturday from 11 to 1?
11 to 1? Well, usually that's when Penn State plays.
Oh.
I'll be watching Penn State.
Oh, my God. Well, I got a guy that does a show with me who's a Penn State grad. You're going to have to meet Alex. But I'm thinking that you're going to be my replacement.
Okay.
Because your articulation, your knowledge of the spoken English word is about 1,000 times better than the way I fumble, bumble, and stumble. We're going to have to groom you here. For the future, my man.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike, hopefully he doesn't take the show away from Alex. I mean, come on, you got two.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but you never know.
He'll be a supporting cast so they can talk about their Penn State Nittany Lions going down to Ohio State. But that was a dark day in your house.
Listen, that holding call, I think, was pretty weak. This should have been 10-3 Penn State. That's all I really have to say about that game. That was a 14-point swing, so...
We got to get you on with Alex. I want to get him over to Sea Dogs some Monday. You guys, you do have hockey practice so during the week, right?
Yeah, I practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I usually have games on Friday and Saturday.
Hey, buddy, what's the position you usually play when you're on the rink?
So for high school, I play
on the ice. Come on,
the ice. On the ice. Hey, come on. Hey.
I got my thesaurus out. I started looking around. Ice. Puck.
For high school, I'm playing center right now, and for my Sahawk travel team, I'm playing left wing.
Nice.
Where are you at?
For high school?
Yeah.
Cypress Creek.
Okay. I know that you
mentioned
that.
A little bit of a drive, yeah.
Cypress Creek. What's your mascot? Cypress Creek.
Coyotes.
What?
Cypress Creek Coyotes.
The Coyotes. The Cypress Creek Coyotes. The only Coyotes I know are the University of South Dakota, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Coyotes. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about high school hockey. We want to get your team down here. As I said, we don't talk a lot of Lightning because we got the guy, the voice, Paul Porter, the voice of. Have you met Paul yet?
I believe I have gotten to take a few pictures with him, but I don't think I've ever been in the booth
well,
with him.
He's the one that does the PA system, and we need to get you two hooked up together, and he can be on his show as well. He'd love it. And you guys can talk a lot of hockey with Paul Porter. What's your favorite sport besides hockey? Is it football?
Yeah, definitely football comes right after hockey, especially college. But yeah.
Now, do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a 17-year-old sister graduating this year. Her name's Anna.
Well, good. Hey, we better do a shout out to mom.
Shout out to mom.
What's mom's name?
Her name's Jennifer.
Jennifer, you have a wonderful young man here. When I ask this question to the high school kids, I always give mom love first.
Absolutely.
No offense, Pops, but that's just the way it rolls if you're going to be a smart young man the rest of your life. So what are your aspirations? Obviously, you want to be in broadcasting.
So other than broadcasting, as I mentioned, I do play. A bit of a long shot, but obviously playing professional hockey would be just amazing. That would be my lifelong dream since I was 4 years old. And I'm also into engineering at the Cypress Creek High School. I've been taking the engineering academy. So those are definitely my big three right there.
I'm very concerned about your future. I don't think you have a deep enough resume right now. Bravo, young man. Engineering. You're already a household name in the world of hockey people. Hey, now do you do it like a little podcast type thing?
I don't actually.
Do you want to do one? We have launched Florida Sports Streams, and I've got two high school guys that do a show now.
Oh, yeah.
The two young men I talked to you about, they're 24 years old, and they're doing a podcast on Florida Sports Streams. And I would love to sit down with you, and we put together a little plan. Of course, I got to talk to Dad, and you've got a busy schedule, but maybe we just do it once every 2 weeks. And you can make it a half hour if you want, or an hour. We'll talk about that.
My friend has definitely brought that up to me, so it's kind of funny that you mentioned that.
Well, we don't want to waste good talent around here, and I want to be the first one to grab you up before you start asking for the big bucks.
I mean, Mike, no sooner he's going to have an agent. I mean, Dad will start out the agent, but then he's going to
be
like
the agent.
He's a
Hey,
he's already got one.
He's already got one. Oh my gosh!
This young man's he's the prototype for NIL, and yeah.
Get a little bit more athletic, then I can start getting the Shedeur Sanders money, right?
Yeah, well, I think you're doing just fine, young man. So, Wyatt, do a shout out to your high school coach and some of your buddies out there as well.
Yeah, so Coach Mike is my high school coach.
Another great name, right, Mike?
Yeah. So we are 8-1-1. I think we're second in the state.
Wow.
We were gonna play first last night. Unfortunately, power outage limited that. They probably a conspiracy on their side. They're scared of us.
Conspiracy.
But yeah, no, he's been awesome. Unfortunately, my practices have coincided, so I haven't been able to make it to all practices. But from what the guys are saying and from what I see on the ice, he's definitely the right fit for this team, and I think he can lead us to a state championship.
Wow. That's how you break down hockey at 14. I got to thank Garrett, too, for hooking us up. And we'll have to have him listen to this this conversation. You were in New Mexico with him recently, right?
Yep.
I still got a little interest in Taos. I think I mentioned it to you.
Yep.
They're not a big hockey state in New Mexico. You stay right where you're at.
Yeah.
Now coming from up north, I was astonished at the depth and the breadth of hockey fans in this state. Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay. the Bolts. It's astonishing, but you've got so many people, Pennsylvanians, you know, that have migrated down here. You're in the right place, young man.
No, it's especially, I mean, I know Lightning Made Hockey, that's where I got my first ever interview. They did a lot of stuff with the team, and they were getting younger players into it. Obviously, two Stanley Cups probably helps out just a little bit.
Absolutely.
But hockey has definitely grown down here in the Bay, and it's really exciting to see it flourish.
Well, buddy, I'd like to see more hockey being played here in the state in the high school level.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very sad that, you know, you can play baseball, football, soccer, yeah, name a sport year-round. Yeah. Did you just say bowling, Ben?
I certainly did say bowling.
Oh, okay.
We do have a bowling team.
You're looking at the head coach of the bowling team.
Oh, yeah. Bowling Ben Botham. But no, I'd like to see actually more hockey teams down in the state and all that, and just to see the talent, the caliber, everything. So I think IMG Academy actually has a hockey team as well.
That's news to me.
News to you.
Yeah.
I believe they do.
So your first really impressive interview was the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've embraced you. As I said, I'm going to introduce you to Paul Porter so you can establish that. And then we'll get your high school team down here some Saturday.
Yep. Okay.
And so tell Coach that. And then you probably should head over to UT Tampa and introduce yourself to their head coach. You know, they've got a team. And
they've got a pretty good team.
They've got a very good team. Well, Wyatt, I appreciate you coming down with Pops. This has been a breath of fresh air. It's our second 14-year-old that's just wowed us. We had the spelling bee champion here several weeks ago, and now we have you. We're going to stay in touch. I'll be talking to your Pops. We'll talk about putting together a podcast on our Florida Sports Stream. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome. I really do appreciate you guys having me out here. I'd be willing to come anytime.
Okay. Well, you're going to have an open invitation. That's Wyatt Ross and his father Mike, and now we're going to shift gears and we're going to talk a little MLB baseball. He's the former head trainer of the good friend of mine of the New York Yankees back in the day when they had I think four or five rings. I can't keep up with all the rings that he's got. He's Jeff Mangold. He's kind enough to join us on a pretty frequent basis, but I thought the timing would be great, and Ben's going to participate in this because of the Arizona Diamondbacks and Texas Rangers in the World Series, and you were right in the midst of that in 2001. And I remember when you're talking to me about, you know, 9/11 and George Bush, and this has to bring a lot of memories back up for you as you watch these games, Jeffrey.
Yeah, Mike. Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on here today. And yeah, it sure does to see that stadium again and being packed and having the World Series going on there, and two somewhat smaller market teams that are in there, and it's an exciting time of year, that's for sure.
You know, Ben had gone through some factoids regarding this series. I'll have him read a few of them off to you. It's pretty intriguing when you make this comparison from a dates and statistics factor from 2001 to 2023 with this Diamondback team.
So a little we went over earlier. The ace in 2001 for the Diamondbacks hit a bird, and the ace in 2023 this year hit a bird. All the dates for the World Series games in 2001 are the same as the dates this year in 2023. The All-Star game was in Seattle in 2001, and it was in Seattle again this year. And George W. Bush threw out the first pitch in 2001 and also in 2023. And a little thing I didn't mention earlier, but in the Fall Classic, 22 of the first 28 Fall Classic games since 1995 in the wild card era, if you won the first game, you won the World Series.
Damn.
Pretty
good research.
Jeffrey?
Wow, that's incredible, yeah. One thing
What do you remember? What do you remember from that series that's the most long-term memory that you had? I mean, obviously it was in the Diamondbacks' favor. You guys were the preeminent favorites, obviously, already having several rings. What is your memory as you reflect back on it?
I think there were two incredible home runs by us in the series that you couldn't fathom. You couldn't even think it would happen. But that one was Scott Brosius that hit it deep to left center that either tied the game or we won it with his home run. And then I think it was Tino that hit one also And just because we were trailing both times, somewhat like the Rangers last night, and that you would sometimes you would give two or three fingers for a run. You would say, "Lord, I'm willing to give up some of my fingers just for a win," you know. And but also, one thing I'll never forget is the first game out in Arizona that we opened up in New York City, but then we opened. And the next two games were in Arizona. Ray Charles was singing the national anthem, and I was out on the right field foul line with Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill at that time before the game, as those guys were doing their light sprints and stretching and stuff. And all of a sudden, instead of a big flyover that they usually have, I didn't think there was going to be anything because there weren't any planes coming. And then all of a sudden, I looked to our right, and you see this huge, big monster of a plane. It ends up being a stealth bomber because you didn't really hear it until it went past you. But that was really impressive. Just buzzed the stadium, and it was down low, and to see what a massive stealth bomber looked like in person. But yeah, very, very exciting times. Any World Series that you're in is you're very amped up and realize how special it is. You can't take them for granted.
Did you happen to see the conversation between Jeet and George Bush last night after he'd thrown out the first pitch?
No, I didn't. So was this relative to back in 2001 throwing out the first pitch, or was this the what happened last night?
It was actually a combination of both. It was kind of comical because Derek asked the president, he said, "What do you remember about that, the most memorable thing?" And George looked at him, he goes, "Well, I remember you coming up to me and saying, walking up to the mound and going, 'Hey, Prez, you ready for this?'" And Derek Jeter looked at him, he smiled, he goes, "Yeah, I did say that, didn't I?" He said, "But then I threw a strike." And then Derek asked him if he was going to be throwing from the mound this time. He said, "Nah, I don't think so." But he still threw a nice pitch.
He kind of did a fake out too. He started to walk towards the mound and then shook his head and then took a step right in front of it as well. So he kind of had some fun with the Texas crowd there last night.
So they almost called a balk on him then.
Yeah, I don't think you're calling a balk in Arlington on George Bush, the former owner of the Texas team.
Yeah.
But you had a story. Share your story when he threw out the first pitch up there in Yankee Stadium.
Well, that the day before we were having practice in the afternoon, and I just got done stretching the team and having the guys do some light running. I'm standing out on the right field foul line area, just kind of watching practice. And then all of a sudden, this Cushman golf cart comes down the right field foul line area towards me. And the person driving it, I'd never seen before, and it was a brand new Cushman cart for the maintenance crew. So I asked the guy, "Hey, who are you, and what are you doing here?" He goes, "Listen, I'm with the Secret Service, and tomorrow night, I'm going to be right here where you are, and that if something goes wrong with an incident happens on the mound or happens to the president, that he was going to go out to the mound in this Cushman cart that in the back of it was like an accordion leaded cover to the back area, and that he was going to put the president in there and where he'd be shielded and get him out of there, get him off the field." So I'm going, "Oh God, this is pretty wild." But the incident free, and he threw a strike, and the game went on.
Yes, it did, and it's a memorable World Series. Hey, I know you took some time out of your busy schedule. Why don't you give us a World Series prediction, and then we'll let you go enjoy your Saturday. Are you in North Carolina?
Yes, I'm in Leland, North Carolina, just right outside of Wilmington.
Well, we're going to launch a baseball podcast, and I'll get you involved in that with several authors, Peter Gallenbach and John Bacchia, and down here, Rick Vaughn. We'll get you involved in that some of the episodes, and you can have some fun and probably do a hot stove type show as well, Jeffrey.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. That'd be fabulous.
So who do you like in this series?
I don't know. I think the Rangers seem to be on a roll. They got one swing of the bat for them, they can come from behind pretty quick. Winning the first game's huge. You got to hold home service, but I would probably lean towards the Rangers. I think they're just so explosive, and they got a deep bullpen just like the Diamondbacks do. But I think if they can carry through with the momentum they gained last night from coming behind like that, Arizona's got to have a short memory and get back in there.
Well, my friend, you know, I always appreciate your input. We're looking forward to it. We'll talk a little more at length when I give you a little time ahead. How do people find your book?
Yeah, just the book is Power and Pinstripes. Power and Pinstripes, and you could get it on Amazon. But it deals with a lot of the behind-the-scenes stories of spring trainings, regular season, traveling, crazy meetings that we've had with George Steinbrenner and Yogi Berra, and dealing with Alex Rodriguez and Roger Clemens and the boys. A lot of great stories and a lot of good information.
It's an excellent read, and I appreciate you taking time. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon. And now we'll shift gears, and we're going to talk a little Georgia Bulldogs. Big game tonight. We've got John from Shrimpies on the phone, and I know he's looking forward to being packed with dogs. And then I've got a friend of mine that's a regular down. I tell you what, John, you got to get him down to Shrimpies if you can pull him away from Ferg's. He's Jay Davis, and he is an over-the-top bulldog. And then, of course, right in front of me, the Savannah State Georgia Southern graduate, Ben Botham. So you're all in bulldog country now, Jay Davis. But, John, what do you got going on today down there at Shrimpies on Blind Pass right there on Sunset Beach, my old neighborhood?
Yeah, good to hear from you. Good to hear your voice. We've got a few dog fans right now, but we got more coming when it gets closer to game time. But right now we got some other college fans that are pretty shocked about that Kansas game going on right now. So,
but. What do you got? Like two Jayhawks in the house?
Yeah, I think we got one, but the rest are sooner.
It's not basketball season yet, man. They don't come out, trust me. I've been to their stadium many times. So let's go over some of the specials for today. And then, of course, you were probably jam-packed, as we were here at Ferg's, for the Bills and Bucks game. Talk about your specials this weekend for pro football and college. And you got 30-plus screens down there now with that beautiful view right on the Intercoastal.
Oh, yeah, we had a great time Thursday night. We were packed with Bills fans, and it came down to the wire, and they were having a ball. Just glad the Bills got a win down here. But, yeah, we've got our football menu, our regular menu. We've got the hot dogs, chili fries. Got some good specials on our drinks for football fans, $2, $3 shots, $5 drinks, and, of course, we've got our wonderful football fans. So.
Well, and that hot dog, I keep saying, but I'm so busy on Saturdays, I got to get down there and have that Buffalo Bills dog. That thing looks like the bomb. All right, how do people find you? And what's going to be the final score today? You've been real negative on your Bulldog, and that's not a true fan, brother. You got to suck it up. They need your passion now that they lost their best player. It's time to man up and get behind your team.
I'm always behind them. We're all nervous about this one. But I'll say one word, McConkey. McConkey got to come through today for Bowers, okay? And prediction, I got my Kentucky right. You're calling me a pompous Georgia fan. I don't know if you remember. Pompous Georgia fan.
I like to get your dander up there, John.
Yeah, we beat the hell out of Kentucky, and then I knew Auburn would get us. And, I mean, would give us a tight game. I think today's going to be tight. I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's going to be 23 or 24 to 20 dogs. and we located it.
All right, my man. You
what's that?
Have a great weekend down there at Shrimpy's, down there on Blank Pass, just about a block from the Gulf of Mexico on the Intercoastal. Great place to go watch your Georgia Bulldogs. So is Ferg's. Have a great one, man. So, Jay
right,
Davis,
come see me.
You make your debut. St. Pete Sports Connection, and you're over the top, just like John is on your dogs. What's your history? Why are you such a Bulldogs fan?
Well, Mike, thank you so much for having me out here today. It's really good to be out here at Ferg's, and my love for the Georgia Bulldogs came when I was really young, growing up in Guam, because of my dad, Joe Davis, not the world famous MLB World Series guy.
Yeah.
But my dad, Joe Davis, brought me out here to be a Dogs fan. Grew up, graduated from Georgia, and ended up moving down and living down here in St. Pete. So
right in the heart of Florida State and Gators. And I know you like to get their dander up. There's times I've been down here, and you were like lone man.
Lone man on the totem pole.
Exactly.
Down here at Ferg's. Well, you have to be able.
Well, you got to get Ben to come down.
I'll be pulling for your dogs a little bit. You know, I'm a Savannah State grad and a Georgia Southern graduate as well. I know you guys. Yeah, any day of the week, you could probably, you know, beat us pretty good. But I'm still rooting for a lot of the Georgia teams. I kind of root for some of the Florida teams. But I got a soft spot in my heart for the Dogs. I'm always rooting for them. I always go to the Florida-Georgia game. I'm always pulling for the Dogs out there. And
so how many have you been to?
I like how you say it that way. I call it the Georgia-Florida game, as we like to call it.
Well, that's not phonetically correct. So, I mean, as a Georgia fan, I like to exemplify how educated I am as compared to a majority of just the Florida fans where
Florida,
you know, yeah, it,
now how many games did you go have you been to?
I've been to
do you remember any of them?
I've been to probably 4 or 5 of them.
How many have you been to?
Counting the 6 that I went back to back while I was at Georgia and then graduated,
yeah,
8 games.
You remember those games?
Half of them.
It does look like, well, not anymore because I'm an old geezer, but it does look like an absolute blast. Do they get along with each other? They don't fist in you know, the typical.
You know, you have to be in the right sections. What I call it is the landing, RV park, and right outside the stadiums. Those are safe zones where you're going to have fun with fans.
Yep.
But it is the largest cocktail party, and every year you go, you learn something new or you see a new costume, right?
Yeah, it's a good time out there, Mike. You meet a lot of really cool people. I met a couple of cool guys from Barstool Sports last time I was out there, and everyone's just very friendly. Everybody's willing to help out, give you a hot dog, give you whatever they want, let you use their porta potty from time to time. And I mean, it's just a really amazing environment, and no better place than in Duval. I mean, it's awesome. It's an unbelievable time, Mike. And if you get the chance, you need to go, even if you don't get into the game, because half the time I didn't get into the game.
You're just there for the party.
I'm just there to have a good time.
How old are you, Jay?
38. So when you get out there to the RV park and you find a good group of friends, maybe you have some friends out there, they have a TV. I've sat out in the outside parking lot while the game's going on, and then somebody walks through and maybe has an extra ticket. There's always a chance.
Yeah,
after the game started.
It might even be better sometimes than the tailgate. I'll be 100% Aussie. That stadium gets awfully packed. If you chill in the outside with a TV, you got a grill going, not only are you saving a lot of money, but you're having a pretty darn good time.
I've done that several you know, collegiate games, and I just realized that I had tickets. I just saw somebody coming by. I handed them to him and said, I'm staying out here. We had, you know, the RV going and the whole party environment.
Too much fun on the outside.
Exactly.
For the inside.
So as you look at this this Georgia Bulldog team and quest for their third consecutive national championship, of course, one of the worst things that they imagined did happen, the loss of their All-American, probably without a shadow of a doubt being the first-round draft pick. What are your thoughts on today's game? And the rest of the season, do you think they can three-peat?
My faith is always in the Dogs. I definitely want to three-peat this year, that's for sure.
You don't have the depth you've had in the past.
Well, I know Kirby Smart has those guys fired up. even though we don't have the depth in the past, we still have depth. We still got four stars, four and a half star guys out there ready to fill the shoes of Brock Bowers. And so they got to step up today. This is the first day that they'll have to step up. And in the next five games, be ready for it.
I mean, honestly, they seem like the best team at every position but quarterback. If I'm being 100% honest with you, their quarterback, I saw his interview, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, he seemed awfully cocky for being a pretty mediocre guy. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think they're the best team at every single position except for the quarterback spot. I think the guy's just an average dude. He's just kind of slinging it.
That's been kind of their mantra. You having, you know, like the Brock Purdy type situation, somebody that can run that offense and get it into the stars' hands.
Well, if you remember back to the Stetson Bennett days during the first national championship,
I love that cat. He graduated at 29.
Yeah, absolutely. Prayers for him being out west and everything.
Yeah.
But for him to be able to step in those shoes, Carson Beck has to be able to carry that load. And sometimes until you get manicured by the press or you've had enough interviews, you're going to say some things that probably sound cocky at first and at best. But you have to fill those roles.
No, that's a fair point. I'm pulling for the Bulldogs. I will for the majority of this.
You know what?
Just being a Georgia Southern and a Savannah State alum.
We talked about it on our show live from Sea Dogs on Big Monday. We talked about the powerhouse programs. Today's world, everything's changed. Look at Alabama with the portal situation. You're not going to have three deep of four stars. You're not going to see a Tua and a Hurts next to each other ever again on a sideline, because the guy that's riding Pine is going to a school that's going to open up their arms and
open
pay him
the doors for him.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And that's the reality, the parity now.
And thank goodness that next year you'll have 12 teams in the playoff, because that opens up the door for those guys to get the spotlight that they need at those colleges.
Yeah, I saw the breakdown today, and I was very pleased to see it. If you use that 12-team format, the Air Force Academy, the Falcons would be in the playoffs. That would have been a hell of a year and a hell of a statement, because they're undefeated, and they make the top 25 for the first time in maybe program history.
Sure.
But that portal is going to diminish the depth on a lot of these power programs.
Absolutely. We've already seen it happening.
So. Okay. I mean, I think that's for the good, though, Mike.
I love it.
I think it's great. I'm
a freaking Hawkeye fan. You think I don't love it?
Hey, Mike.
You can't find a quarterback.
I was a Savannah State Tiger. I was every bit looking through that portal as much as I could. I'm just upset I didn't get to make some change off of all this NIL deals.
NIL money?
I wanted to sell my license,
You're the only white guy at an HSBC school, so you probably could have got some NIL.
I would have sold it to anybody that offered me a free dinner, Mike. I would have repped any car dealership, any local food establishment. I'd put my name, my face, everything on
board. They want their business to be successful. You're not putting your face out there.
Oh, my God.
All right, so let's get a score. Let's get a score.
I've struggled with this all week, but I definitely think it's going to be 38-27.
38-27, dogs. Brad, you got a quick score, Florida and Georgia? Manny, you got
21-6, one? Georgia.
21-6, Georgia?
I was going to say 21-34.
In whose favor?
FSU, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Georgia,
sorry.
Florida.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to be the negative of this conversation.
Florida. All right, Todd. Well, Jay.
Hey,
you're
thank
welcome
you so much
anytime
for
you're walking
me.
By. We're not going to talk Bulldogs every time you're here, though.
That's all right.
We're definitely not talking Bucks after Thursday's performance. So for Rowdy Soccer, Jim Hart, David Wilson, Brad Richardson, Wyatt and Mike Rice. That kid was cool, wasn't he?
Oh, great guy.
Unbelievable. Eckerd Women's Soccer, John Bacchia, the big old Ben Botham, Joe Geiger. What a show. Gavin Vindad. Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship weekend.